Welcome to the Weekly Investment Outlook podcast from Deutsche Bank's Private Bank, looking at the most important issues for investors in the week ahead.
Hello everyone, it's Friday again and this means time for our CIO Weekly Investment Outlook podcast where we discuss what moves markets and the week up front. It's Friday and with me today is our Private Bank's Chief Investment Officer in APAC, Stephanie Holske-Yen. Stephanie, great to have you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Eva?
Thanks. Great. Shall we get started?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So let's kick it off. And I'd like to open today's podcast with a topic around central banks. There were lots of interesting events and meetings. So yesterday, the Swiss National Bank announced a rate cut, which I think is fair to say surprised markets. So earlier this week, we had the FOMC meeting. Could you summarize the main key takeaways from these events and the market reaction?
Yes, of course. So this week was a very busy central bank week. The center focal point was the Fed. The Fed has operated from a backdrop of relatively strong growth, higher than expected inflation, strong labor market, and they have informed that they will be on course, though, to take rates down 3 times this year. There were some expectations that maybe because of that strong backdrop, that could be lowered to 2 times. So as a consequence, the markets actually rallied and took this as a dovish sign. And we had equities posting new highs. So on the flip side, you just mentioned the Swiss National Bank started the rate cut cycle. Well, amidst the Fed still staying on hold and just advising that this will be later, the Swiss National Bank has gone ahead and already started to take down rates. Now, they were in every position to do so because they have already been undershooting the inflation side of things. And it was just the surprise element most probably for some of the market participants came in because typically one would think that the SNB could be closer to the ECB event, which would only be in June. So acting now in March is a bold move, but then again, fully justified. The initial reaction has been in the currency markets because the currency has also been a steering mechanism for the SNB in terms of getting inflation under control. And they had stopped kind of supporting currency strength because that wasn't needed anymore. And so as a consequence of that rate cut, we saw the Swiss franc immediately losing a 1%. And a 1% magnitude.
Interesting. Thanks for that. Stephanie, let's turn to Japan, the Bank of Japan, which in contrast moved in the other direction and finally ending its long period of negative interest rates. How did that go and how did markets react?
Yes, so the market was split going in between would that happen now in March or April, but the Bank of Japan was obviously convinced that the information that Japan is not in recession because the fourth quarter GDP was revised upwards, then also inflation that was coming in above central bank target, plus the spring wage negotiations, Shunto wage negotiations, came in very positively. Some of the companies reported that they will be giving higher wages of a double-digit percent going forward. So that obviously convinced the Bank of Japan to be in a position to start taking rates out of negative interest rate territory. So the very interesting part, though, is the way they did it is that at the same time, they advised the market that they will stay accommodative around this. So that means they will actually buy broadly the same amount of Japanese government bonds as before. And they also said they will increase purchases if yields rise sharply. So it's still a central bank that will perform QE, albeit having raised rates. And the interesting and market reaction on the back of it and the consequential logic one on the back of it was that the currency did not appreciate, but continuous depreciation path against the US dollar. And because this is a cyclical tailwind for equities that is a very heavily export-led as well economy, as a consequence, also the equities market continued to rise. So maybe counterintuitive on the first look, but because the Bank of Japan has done very good communication around taking rates out of negative interest rate territory, it hasn't derailed the investment case that we also see for China still being intact on the back of the cyclical, but also the structural benefits that you will encounter investing there going forward.
Okay, that's interesting. China has not experienced the inflationary pressures endured in much of the West. However, they are also challenged by slower economic growth. Do you expect the People's Bank of China to follow the West in lowering rates to support the growth trajectory? And will this be enough to get the country's property sector out of its current situation?
You are actually asking at the most interesting point in time, because there is an easing of the deflationary pressures. And so far, there's always been a very fine balancing act for the PBOC in terms of navigating rates, because whenever you take down rates, you also induce currency weakness, which could be a vicious cycle. But we're speaking today on the Friday, and the renminbi has actually depreciated quite a lot in the course of the day, because the PBOC set the renminbi reference rate at only 7.10 per dollar, and it was expected to come in much higher. So it looks like there is a tendency to be able to loosen a bit of the support around the currency. And at the same time, we've also seen the PBOC deputy head stating that there's room to cut reserve bank ratio, which was like the first thing most probably they could have done before touching rates. And that has also triggered more of a downfall in renminbi. So maybe this is one way. And I spoke about how Switzerland is, and the SMB is also employing a bit of a currency in terms of managing economic outcomes. Maybe that's a first tendency. I do not want to overinterpret at this time, but definitely these are interesting developments right now, because as you said, the economy is also on a slowing path. Sentiment is hampered by the country's property sector, and to restore sentiment and then induce flows back into the market, you need a variety of things. So monetary policy is one part, fiscal stimulus is another part. And as we monitor, looking at whether we can build a base in the all important equities market, we need to see a few things around sentiment and flows stabilizing. And also this week was actually quite encouraging, because we got macroeconomic data that looked a little bit more positive.
Stephanie, looking into next week, what are the key topics or events investors should keep on the radar?
Yeah, well, I stick with China to start with. And here in Asia, we will see again macroeconomic data. And I think that's the one important building block that investors need to see to also get confidence to be able to get back in the market. We see industrial profits early in the week, and then towards the end of the week, the PMIs. So the official manufacturing PMI may have the possibility to go back into expansive territory around the 50. So that would be something positive. But on the other hand, during the week, we get earnings from key property developers, and that is still something that weighs heavily on everyone's mind to see whether the property market and the property developers can get out of that consolidation phase they're clearly still in. Then, having spoken about the Bank of Japan and them obviously steering the future of what the market can expect in terms of more interest rate hikes, or maybe starting to walk away from QE, which will still be the case now as well as wise, we also look at data, and we get the Japan Tokyo CPI, which is expected to continue to be above the central bank target of 2%. And last but not least, the US is also on data watch. We get February core PCE inflation data, which is, as we know, the most preferred inflation data point for the Fed to watch. And that will also bring us closer to understanding as to when that first rate cut can happen.
Okay, so a busy week ahead. Stephanie, thanks so much for your time today. Just as a heads up, dear listeners, next week we have Easter. That said, our next podcast will be published on April the 8th. Dear listeners, this was this week's edition of our weekly Investment Outlook podcast. Have a great week and bye for now.
In Europe, Middle East and Africa, as well as in Asia Pacific, this podcast may be considered marketing material, but this is not the case in the US. No assurance can be given that any forecast or target can be achieved. Forecasts are based on assumptions, estimates, opinions, and hypothetical models which may prove to be incorrect.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Performance refers to a nominal value based on price gains and losses and does not take into account inflation. Inflation will have a negative impact on the purchasing power of this nominal monetary value. Depending on the current level of inflation, this may lead to a real loss in value, even if the nominal performance of the investment is positive. Investments come with risk. The value of an investment can fall as well as rise, and you might not get back the amount originally invested at any point in time. Your capital may be at risk. The services described in this podcast are provided by Deutsche Bank AG or by its subsidiaries and/or affiliates in accordance with appropriate local legislation and regulation. Deutsche Bank AG is subject to comprehensive supervision by the European Central Bank, by Germany's Federal Financial Supervisory Authority, and by Germany's Central Bank. Brokerage services in the United States are offered through Deutsche Bank Securities Incorporated, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor which conducts investment banking and securities activities in the United States. Deutsche Bank Securities Incorporated is a member of FINRA, NYSE, and SIPC. Lending and banking services in the United States are offered through Deutsche Bank Trust Company Americas, member FDIC, and other members of the Deutsche Bank Group. The products, services, information, and/or materials referred to within this podcast may not be available for residents of certain jurisdictions. Copyright 2024 Deutsche Bank AG and/or its subsidiaries. All rights reserved. This podcast may not be used, reproduced, copied, or modified without the written consent of Deutsche Bank AG.